Good morning and welcome to Backyard and Beyond. This morning we're visiting with O.J. Fargo, a lifelong history learner and teacher. Good morning to you, O.J.
Good morning.
Well, you are going to be coming to Atlantic on January 19th. That's the third Sunday of the month. We're doing our program sponsored by the Atlantic Rock Island Society Enterprise at the Armory, trying to do those about every third Sunday most of the year. So we're really looking forward to you coming here. And so
I, too, am looking forward to it.
Have you been to Atlantic before?
I have. I was there once, and we've been there three or four times, like to eat and that sort of thing.
Yeah. Well, if you have not been to the American Legion Memorial Building, the Armory, I think you're going to be in for a treat because it in itself has lots of history, and that's you personified, I think, is history. But you're going to be coming dressed in a special way. Tell us.
Yes. Instead of just talking, what I'm going to be doing is portraying a Civil War soldier coming back from the war in 1865. So I would just have stopped in Atlantic on my way back home. So everything is going to be set in 1865. I won't know anything about planes and tanks and that sort of thing.
And you're coming in that uniform that's, as you say, on your way home. You haven't changed out of your uniform yet, so you'll be in that full Civil War regalia.
Absolutely.
It sort of sets the stage, doesn't it, for people to – sometimes we have to kind of switch in our minds to think about, okay, this we're talking to this person in 1865.
If you're going to take him back, you probably should set that stage and also look like it's 1865. Otherwise, they're going to have very fertile imaginations.
You bet. And you'll get us into that, I am sure. We're going to come back and talk about that program a little bit more. But before that, I want to talk a little more about you and how you came to love history and Civil War and all the kinds of things that you study. Give us some background about that.
Well, I've always been in love with history, and I always found it to be fascinating, but I especially liked, so what did somebody like me do? I'm never going to be a general or a president or that sort of thing. So throughout all sorts of history, I'm always interested in, so what really happened back then? I got into the Civil War per se because everybody in my family and most people that I knew hated history. So they started a Civil War unit down here in Greenfield. And I thought, okay, at the time I wasn't terribly interested in the Civil War, but I thought, well, any old port in a storm. Well, the more I got into it, I tend to do things to death. And then I specialized, being a reenactor, in what the common soldier would have done. And I find most people can relate to that just because they're other human beings.
Yes, and we often hear, you know, the generals did this and the generals did that, but how does it affect the ordinary soldier and the everyday person who's coming from, maybe in Iowa, maybe coming from a farm?
Oh, chances are, yeah, in Iowa. Well, Iowa sent 71,000 guys. 13,000 of them never came back. So it had a fairly good-sized impact on the people in Iowa at the time.
And you have information for all of Iowa about who those people were.
Yes, it's a one-of-a-kind database that I spent easily 10 years putting together. It is like a mini biography of all those 71,000 guys, and you can sort it any way you want it. So if you want to know how many people came from Atlantic at the time, how many people came from your county, how many people deserted, you can just glean all sorts of information. So what I find is I put it together for kids down here in Union County, and I work for an area education agency, and we had 10 counties that I dealt with. And the kids would say, so why are we studying the Civil War? Well, I couldn't come up with a good answer until all of a sudden you go, well, you know, something actually happened that affected you or your town anyway. And so, as an example, Newmarket or some of the other towns, you could call those up, and all of a sudden now they've got a reason to study history.
There's a real name.
It's turned into a great research thing, too.
Mm-hmm. So you're going to be bringing that information with you, as I understand. So if we want to look up somebody, we can do that.
Oh, absolutely. Either somebody or you shoot your last name. So, you know, unless your name's Smith, you got a pretty good chance of narrowing it down. But I can narrow it down by county, by where they were born, by how old they were. You know, a lot of things. If nothing else, you just see how many other Fadittensteins there were in Iowa.
Okay. Now, the other thing, in terms of background, you know, you say you've been collecting this history. You have four CD-ROMs containing 320,000 pages of searchable text. Is that bigger than Iowa?
That's just Iowa.
All right.
Because, like, if the kids were studying it, what I advocated, because I was also the social studies consultant at the Erie Education Agency, is why study something someplace else? Well, as an example, coming from Atlantic, if you read a lot of the history of Iowa, it's all centered in Des Moines or Council Bluffs or Davenport. And so what about where I'm at? So this way they could actually study not only the state, but perhaps even what happened in their county or in their town. And what the people at the Historical Society had told me is, well, just send them up. We'll take care of them. Look, okay, you snapshot at 4:30 in the afternoon. The kids get out of school at 3:30. Given they're motivated enough to drive up there, they really have no access to any of that material. So we hand-scanned all those pages in so they could be searchable.
Wow. That's amazing. And
my wife thinks I'm, you know, I was
a little crazy.
but now you have to be a little crazy.
Yes. But now she helps you out as needed.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay. So let's just talk a minute more about the reenactors, because I know we have people in our area here that also participate in the reenactors. How often do you get involved in that? Where do you go? What do you do?
Our group is called the Army of the Southwest, and we would love to have your reenactors join us whenever they felt the need, or if anybody else is interested in becoming a reenactor. Around Atlantic, there isn't a whole lot going on in the western part of the state, but we're in Winterset, we were in Madrid, up north we were in Albert City, and those are just the events that we do ourselves. We have enough people that we can basically bring our own enemy with us, so we can put on our own reenactments wherever we need to. We don't have to go beat the bushes for other people to join us.
Well, I think we're going to have a few people in attendance from, it's the Grand Army of the Republic.
Sons of Union Veterans.
Yes. I think we're going to have a few people visiting from that group. So that all kind of ties together with the Civil War, and so that will just be an added plus. So
yeah, that'd be great.
So in addition, the other thing that we haven't mentioned is that you're bringing some artifacts.
Yeah, some of them are real and some of them are replicas. It all depends. And so people, too many times, like you go to a museum and, you know, they say, well, don't touch anything. Well, this stuff here, I mean, if you want to touch it, if you want to get into the uniform, if you want to, pretty much whatever you want to do. What I found when I was working with kids and teachers is that the closer they are to the subject, or if they can touch it, or they can get active with it, the more they're going to learn and the more they're going to be interested. If it's always you just have to stand back and wait until somebody does something to you or for you, it's not very conducive to learning. So, everything I've got you can touch and pick up and play with and do whatever you want to.
Okay, so we'll have lots of ways to learn about the Civil War when you are here in Atlantic at the American Legion Memorial Building, the Armory, on January 19th. That starts at 2 p.m. And, of course, we always have some volunteers who bring some goodies, some refreshments along at the end, and gives people a chance to visit with you also. And just to remind folks that there is not a fee for this. If you want to give a donation, of course, we always love that, but it is not required. And the building is handicapped accessible. So just come a little before 2 so you can look at the artifacts and get ready to hear O.J. Fargo. And again, the title?
Just Before the Battle, Mother. It's part of an old Civil War song.
Okay, very good. We're looking forward to having you here, O.J. Fargo, on January 19. And until next time, here's a thought from John D. Rockefeller. Don't be afraid to give up the good. Just go for the great.